Well, I'm Michelle Monterrosa. I'm Sean Monterrosa's oldest sibling.
I'm Ashley Monterrosa, and I'm Sean's baby sister.
And we shared a bedroom with Sean, so no matter what, you know, we're always very close. So even though we're all 2 years apart,
we felt like triplets.
Yeah. And my little sister Ashley here, she's lived through Sean and I, you know, on what to do and not to do.
I feel like an old lady because I've lived through them, that I know, like, okay, I know what not to do, and I feel like I've lived so much through them. You know, for me, being the younger sister, like, I was Robin and Sean was Batman. Like, I was always with him. He was always on the driver's seat, and I was always on the passenger seat, and we were just always together. So, you know, there's nothing we won't do for Sean, and there's nothing I won't do for Michelle, and vice versa.
You can ask all his teachers. And, you know, a lot of teachers say we're not supposed to favor students, but all his teachers said that he was one person that shed such light. There was a light from him that... it's one face you can never forget. He read 50 books within one semester. It's hard enough to get kids in, you know, in high school to even want to read one or two, right? But Sean kept telling her, I need more books. I need more books. Because he was so... my dad reads, and I think he...
he was hungry for knowledge, yeah. Always.
I remember his main books that we have at home was the 48 Laws of Power, the Malcolm X autobiography, Assata Shakur, you know, just literature related to social justice. You know, he was always about empowering himself and empowering the people, but also educating himself on history that we're not taught. He always spoke for the voiceless.
You know? Sean would always take off his shirt to give to the next person and give his very last dime to help the other person.
And I do believe my brother came to this lifetime to fight. You know, his life was a fight every day. You know, being a young Latino man, you already have all adversities against you.
Yeah,
he was a good, he was an awesome person. We got a text message from him at 11:49 for us to sign a petition.
On June 1st
to get George Floyd justice. And we both signed it. So after that, you know, we didn't think of anything. We're like, okay, he didn't respond. Let's go to bed, right? I'm already asleep. And then this girl my brother had just met and started kind of talking to calls us saying, Sean's dead, hysterically crying. And after that call, I went and instantly got on my knees and prayed in the kitchen. My parents are asleep and they're freaking out, what's going on? And this is why we have curfew in place.
We weren't allowed to go out after 8 p.m.
And I said, forget the rules. It's Sean. I got to go figure out what's going on. So she had mentioned that it was Vallejo. Me and Ashley were like, Vallejo? What are they doing in Vallejo?
And luckily, all three of us shared our location with each other. So we thought something had gone wrong.
So we go over there. Me and Ashley, however, the whole time we were driving out there, the whole time we were sick. I've never felt so sick. I do truly believe that you're connected to your loved ones. You know, you instantly feel when something's not right. And my stomach was upset. I wanted to throw up the whole night.
Yeah, the entire drive to Vallejo, even before getting on the Bay Bridge, Michelle wanted to throw up. And for me, I had really
upset strong
stomach pains, like really bad.
And we've never felt like that. And I truly believe maybe it was his spirit letting us know.
And just the nerves overall, because we didn't know what we were going to encounter once we got there.
So we didn't get many answers there. We knew that the police murdered Sean. We didn't know how. We just knew that.
It had happened.
But we all know at the end of the day, my brother's wasn't over there looking to go shoot a cop or anything, you know.
He didn't even have a gun at the end of the day.
And, you know, nothing in this world will make sense to why Jerriton did what he did.
He was shot in the neck and out the head. They flipped him over and handcuffed him and kept my brother in handcuffs until the paramedics came.
And it just goes to show how fearful these cops are when unarmed black and brown men are, you know,
you're still scared of them.
You still have to handcuff, and knowing that you already, that entry wound, we all know it, there's no really survival chances are, you know. And that's something that still hurts. They didn't give him a chance.
The car didn't even stop. You know, Jerriton was in the back seat. There was no reason for him to quote unquote fear for his life.
At the end of the day, Jerriton cannot be the executioner, cannot be the judge to take my brother's life. Whatever my brother was doing is not punishable by death. And it just hurts, but I promise to never stop fighting for Sean and the other voiceless in Vallejo. You know,
Sean's a martyr now, and you know, martyrs never die, and you know, Sean died for a bigger cause.
And it just goes to show at the end of the day that, you know, my brother's name will not die in vain. And I feel like my brother, with his last text message, it was a message to us to continue to fight.